Allez, là déjà, je veux que c'était le chimpé qui année chimpa tête d'agores. C'est là donc c'était le chimpé qui ne chimpa tête d'ail ya tu nimbo kar kongure là na. Année de jeu milieu mboche ça ta. Moi ça ya ta. De dinigi de jeu milieu mboche de ne pas mais tu en chimbo dan qui est chimbo yimba som ta ya. And ne top kawas ni kawares ne. And the Gala that in Niggit and Jimmy Lumache Donachimo, Giachimo, Top Tobadi, like Giki Chiba and Chiwa Mitaba, Namisanaka, and Chiria Chagore Chita, Shiwaina, Dulcin, that Chiwa Mitaba sometime. That Shiwaina and Giachimo Rosa de la Nandra de Tendu Nima de Omar, which is a general Nandra de Tau, where Nandra Matanata, that you go, Mara, which is a dinner that Dendrula Tower, Dendrula Giachiwores. Is that general Kiawala, Mandoki, Kalchevorelana, and that Jige, Turim Soyata, and the Jimba, Jimbania, Sivanium, Sundrianium, and Uz, and the Molam, Molam Jimameva, Molam Taviata, Andusine, Yamachi at TDS, is that the Nigi Yamle Yakoyala, Mazu Comiadi Karakumoresne, and the Tanjay Imbata, Chiwamita was on TDS.
Good afternoon. So this morning we continue to look at our text, parting from the four clingings. We're looking at the context of what it means to cling to this life. To cling to the happiness, in particular, means clinging to the happiness, attaining happiness in this life and being freed from suffering in this life. We spoke about some of the faults that come with living with such an outlook. Then we spoke about how to transform our outlook, how to transform our mind into one of the Dharma. And for that to come about, we need to cultivate the required antidotes. And here these are twofold. The first is the reflection on the meditation on the precious human rebirth, and this comprises first, as a first subpoint, reflecting on the 18 freedoms and endowments, and then secondly, looking at the great importance or the great meaning that can be achieved with this life, and then thirdly, looking at how very difficult it was to achieve this life that we have achieved, and therefore its great rarity. So these are the three points within reflecting on a precious human rebirth. When we give rise to an appreciation for this a jewel of great value that we hold in the palm of our hands, we then move the meditation onto the second main topic, which is on the impermanence of this opportunity, the impermanence of this life. And here the reflection leads us to think, well, this life will certainly end. It will definitely end, and that's the first point, to overcome any thought that, well, there is time, and to help with this understanding that there really we can't be certain when it will end. That is the second point, the uncertainty of our lifespan. And then, when we're gaining a good feeling for this, we come to appreciate that not only will this life definitely end, but I have no idea when that will be. And whenever it is that my life does end, that doesn't mean my continuum ceases, but rather, once again, I take rebirth, uncontrolled rebirth in cyclic existence. And there are only two directions any ordinary being can go in, and that is either to remain in a happy migration or to fall into the suffering migrations. So here then, with that clear recollection, one then it goes into the third point of the meditation on the impermanence of life, which is that what is of primary importance in what remains of this life is to accumulate the causes for happiness. And these are engaging in cultivating the mind of ethics, the mind of generosity, that of patience, joyous perseverance, and prayer. So these are the five causes that are required in order to attain good rebirths in our future lives, to attain precious human rebirths again. And when this realization arises within one in a transformative manner, This is when we are able to turn away from clinging to the mere happiness of this life. And in this way, we can enter through the doorway to actual Dharma practice. Great importance of meditating effectively on the impermanence of this life is that one will give rise to a powerful wish to practice the Dharma, to cultivate the minds of the Dharma within us. And accompanying this, so what makes it so powerful is what one is really generating is joyous perseverance, this mind that delights in engaging in virtue. So this is the primary result that comes from effective meditation on the impermanence of this life. When one's new to this presentation and hears about meditation on the impermanence of a life, meditation on death, then it's very likely that one will have some reaction to this meditation. One will feel a repulsion to this meditation, because generally we don't like to think about death. We don't even like to talk about death. Thinking about it is something quite unpleasant.
There's perhaps
quite some validity in such a doubt. But for people who don't accept future rebirth, so for people who don't accept that lives follow after this one, who believe that at death everything just ends, then perhaps there's not so much benefits in them reflecting on the certainty of death and the uncertainty with regard to the time of death. But for us who do accept a rebirth, then there's great importance to this meditation, because through reflecting on death, we are reminded that following death comes rebirth. And rebirth is in one of two directions. It's either
falling into the suffering lower realms or attaining a rebirth in the happier migrations, a rebirth similar to what we have now. And being people who don't only accept rebirth but also accept the validity of karma, we will know that whichever rebirth one attains, whether lower or happy migrations, doesn't just happen miraculously, but it comes about in dependence on specific causes. And then through reflecting that, our direction of rebirth is only going to be in the happier or the lower migrations, it's very easy to give rise to a certainty in mind that one doesn't want to be born into a realm that is dominated by intense suffering, such as the hells or the spirits or the animals, but must rather attain a rebirth as a human or a god. And then with our acceptance of karma, one will naturally think, not only am I definitely going to die, and I don't know when, and when this death does come, it's either going to be in a lower migration or a happier migration, I have to make sure I accumulate those relevant causes that lead to a suitable rebirth, a rebirth where my suffering isn't so intense, and I am able to continue my spiritual development. And then thinking like this, one's mind will naturally turn to want to come to understand those five causes very well, those of ethical conduct and generosity and patience and joy, perseverance and prayer, and not just understand them, but develop them within oneself so that those five minds pervade one's way of thinking. Then, this serves, this process that one has gone through meditating on the impermanence of life, this serves to develop the determination to live what remains of this opportunity well, in a meaningful way, ensuring that everything we do is focused on accumulating the causes that leads to a good rebirth, and not just waste this opportunity, not to think, well, if I don't spend my life cultivating the minds of the Dharma, living my life under the influence of the lives of the Dharma, it doesn't really matter because, well, next life I'll have more time and I can try then. We come to understand the need to live what remains of this life in the most meaningful of ways. This line of thought, we will quite easily be able to extend it and take it much further, because when we have certainty about the causes that we need to accumulate in order to achieve a good rebirth, then with that basis, we can start to think that actually, if I, through the accumulating those same causes, but as I develop my motivation further, those causes become causes for an even greater result than just another good rebirth. These same practices of ethical conduct, generosity, and so forth, those same practices, combined though with concentration and wisdom, those same practices then, combined with concentration and wisdom, become causes not just for a good rebirth, but also causes that will lead to the attainment of liberation from suffering. And moreover, if those six causes, if they are from ethical conduct up to wisdom, are conjoined with love and compassion that's been developed into bodhicitta, then those practices, they become causes not just for a good rebirth, not just for a cessation of suffering, but for enlightenment itself. And then we come to understand that if we do generate a sincere wish for liberation or enlightenment, that motivating mind ensures that all our activities, our virtuous activities, not only are causes for liberation or enlightenment, but that virtue will carry through from life to life to life until that goal is attained, and therefore making it so much more likely that good rebirths will be achieved. So as a side effect of focusing on a mind that sincerely is focused on liberation or enlightenment, good rebirths are achieved. So through thinking like this, naturally a strength of mind arises, a wish to accumulate the causes for happiness and eliminate the causes that lead to suffering. And this is a mind that is very different from where we currently may be, of being acting under the influence of pride, wanting to have a good reputation, wanting to be treated well by others, expecting to be treated well by others, or desirous attachment, wanting to achieve the pleasures of the senses, or the thought that through influence and power I will be able to lead a happy life. But rather we'll come to understand that such mundane motivation not only cannot lead to our desired lasting stable happiness, but actually leads to us creating the causes for suffering. So to thinking like this, we come to see how worthwhile it is to spend our life under the influence of the minds of the Dharma, engaging in our various activities, but motivated by virtuous minds of the Dharma. So this leads to a great strength of mind, a courageous mind, a mind that has confidence that we have the ability to achieve happiness. We have the ability to transform this life into a life of meaning, where we create the causes for lasting, stable happiness, and we can have positive influence on the lives of others. So therefore, this stream of meditation does not at all lead to the mind becoming dispirited, but quite the opposite. It leads to a great strength of mind, wanting to overcome all obstacles to our cultivation of the mind of the Dharma through living a meaningful life. Look at the next six lines. He who engages in study and reflection is enriched by resources that enhance knowledge. He is endowed with the light that dispels ignorance. He is familiar with the road to guide sentient beings. He is endowed with the seed of the Dharmakaya, so you cannot succeed without study and reflection.
Dunga seya liya, an dunga seya ta digi jubya liya. ཁྱི
So looking at the first line, he who engages in study and reflection. Here what is being emphasized is that having given rise to a wish to achieve good rebirths, and possibly a wish to even achieve liberation or enlightenment, then one has to gather knowledge. One has to gather knowledge in terms of coming to understand clearly what causes suffering, what causes happiness, how to then eliminate the causes of suffering, how to cultivate the causes of happiness. So one has to gather through study, or literally through hearing, a vast amount of knowledge. But this knowledge is not to be left at a mere intellectual level, or to be gathered as a mere intellectual pursuit. But whilst engaging in the process of gathering knowledge, one needs to reflect on that knowledge. One needs to contemplate on that knowledge. So this sequence needs to be done together. Gathering knowledge, thinking about the meaning of that knowledge to see if the teachings are correct, and then to cultivate them within oneself. And this is something that needs to be done repeatedly over a sustained period, because in order to transform deep-seated habitual patterns and transform them into habitual patterns of great virtue, this takes a determined effort, where we come to know the topics well and cultivate them repeatedly over a sustained period. So we gather knowledge on the various stages of training that we need to engage in, and come to understand the sequence correctly and unmistakably. And whilst we're coming to understand this well, we reflect on it. We engage in contemplative meditation on the topics. And in this way, we cultivate the causes to achieve a good rebirth, cultivate the causes to achieve liberation and enlightenment, all as we are gaining ever more knowledge and ever more experience of that knowledge through reflection.
ཁོ་བེ་དུང་ག་ཁ་སང་ང་སོང་གི་དུང་ལ་ཐར་བ་ཏ་མ་ཡེན་པ་ཐར་བི་གི་ཐར་བ་ལ་ཐོབ་ལ་ཐར་བ་ལ་ཐར་བ་ལ་ནང་པ་སམ་ལ་ཁ་རེ་སྟང་གོ་དེ་ཐར་བ་ཐོ་ཡེ་གུ་ལམ་ཁ་ནས་གོམ་གོ་གོ་པ་ཏ་ཨན་དི་ན་ཤ་སང་གི་གོ་པ་ཐོབ་ལ་ལམ་ཁ་ནས་གོམ་གོ་གོ་པ་ཏ་ང་པ་སམ་ལ་ཁ་རེ་སྟང་གོ་དེ་ཐར་བ་ཐོ་ཡེ་གུ་ལམ་ཁ་ནས་གོམ་གོ lam nyamlinche jewa chimba phada miu go bon thoe ge lam nyamlinche ya an tharpa da thamje chimba thoba ji be lam nyamlinche da an sanje go bon thoba ji be lam nyamlinche jin ba chaba an singre sing dene ke nyamlinche go ba de di re sha di re singre chi da shi je ji be longje je longje la la an zu ge chi da longje la na gyu pen jo chebu gyu si gyu pen jo ji longje je la gyu chebu da an chi sa si wa da de longje se di Dinigi, Mahanjogi, Lam Yamlin Jagi, Shin, Shin, Longjo, Shin, did the Jachimu Chagres or Shin, Longjo Chancer. She's a tribute, New Mojan said, Dinigi, Shin, Yundin Chimu Chagres.
And the second line is enriched by resources that enhance knowledge. So here, one is being encouraged to repeatedly receive teachings, listen to teachings, and do so over a sustained period. So in other words, always, whenever having the opportunity, receive teachings so as to gather ever more knowledge. And this is of great importance, and that's why in the sequence of study, reflection, and meditation, the gathering of knowledge is presented first. One needs to gather knowledge so as one's later meditation can be effective. So one needs to gather knowledge coming to understand about, for example, the result that is the happy migration that we have achieved, this good rebirth. So this result, we need to understand why it is considered something that is so precious, and then we need to understand the causes that led to it. Similarly, we need to understand about the results that other beings are experiencing, the sufferings of beings born in the lower realms. And we need to then understand the causes that led to those. And moreover, when we come to understand the causes for rebirth in the happy or the suffering migrations, we need to come to understand that those that remaining bound within this wheel of rebirth, where one can only be born in a suffering migration or a relatively happy migration, one can attain a result that is liberated from that. And that only comes about in dependence on the cultivation of particular causes. So here there's a vast amount of knowledge to be gained, in particular to understand with certainty, so not just a mere knowledge of, but a certainty about the correct sequence of these meditations. So one gains certainty of the various stages of the three paths, the paths that lead to a good rebirth, the paths of mental paths that lead to liberation, the mental paths that lead to enlightenment. So one needs to gain great certainty of this. And that is likened here to being enriched with resources. So this analogy is often used in this context to illustrate that the wealth of Dharma knowledge is a wealth that is incomparable to any worldly treasure. So this treasure that we can cultivate, this treasure of knowledge that we can cultivate within ourselves, is something that is incomparable in the world. So this is the first stage, that of collecting knowledge or gathering knowledge.
And then, Marik Sevye to me Jensho. The Marik Ba Sevye to me. Then I want to say Marik Ba Sevye to me. Labna, because of this, the Nigi Tersam Terba, Terne Yane Yandu, Terbe Terbache, and the Terne, then Dundadi Yane and Sam Yondu. That Marik Basivu to Majin Lang the Karasosuna, Mahazugi, Jawa Chimagi, Kor Yamlin Jenaroji, Matu Vaina, Jawa Chima, Karakar Yungu, Hagu Mara, the Marik Bahamu, what a Marik Bahamashin by the Marik Basikora. And in Ashin, the Mashin Baina, then Jawa Chima, Ganagar Yung Bahamogona, Jawa Chima, Jagi, Yugaraka Duko, Dia Hamos, rather, Jong Mandola Jagi, Yuganus, your ten. You can't do it. Dine, Gavachima, Nanson, Kiki Mindu, Sara. The Dendrul, you did Dinam, the Samu did Dangu, Dine, Dine, Gavachima, Dendrul, Kitu, Dinam, and Chehu, to Sempe, Yam, and Chetan, the Shingo. They sing you do, they sing machine body, Mela Sara, the Ben Marib, Mangan, no good in the law, Pasha, she did no good in Mela Charo, Dinashi, and the Gavachimigi.
Karma, the Tarba Tomatu, Gugar, Litin, Havarel, and Yomoba, then Tabadi, Hakuore. Sinada, Tarba said, Mazu, Matu, Gugar, Chagos, or Dinit in the Koala, Korea, Gudi, then the Leda, Yomo, Gudi, Suresha. Tis and Gudi, Ma, Se, Pansha, Tarba, Togu, Tin, 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 Tin,
It's independence then, on engaging in extensive study and reflection, that one will become, as you see in the third line, endowed with a light that dispels ignorance. Because at the moment, the vast majority of beings can be said are completely in the dark, in that they have no wisdom in relation to the causes that have led them to be in the state that they are in. They have no wisdom in terms of what is possible beyond the state that they're in. And without such knowledge, they of course have no idea how to attain a state beyond where they find themselves bound right now. But for those who engage in extensive study and reflection, they gather the knowledge and an insight into that knowledge that enables them to dispel this darkness of ignorance and understand that this precious rebirth now was attained through the cultivation of particular causes, and through the cultivation of those causes again, similar results can be achieved. And if one does not do so, but rather accumulates a differing set of causes, those are what will lead with certainty to rebirth in the lower realms. So here, those who are eliminating the darkness of ignorance, they are coming to understand to their own situation, as well as the other possible situations. And based on this knowledge and this reflection, they come to understand that there is an existence beyond the realms of samsara, beyond the happy and suffering migrations of samsara. There is an existence that is liberated from the cycle from circling and cyclic existence. And they then also, through gathering of knowledge and reflecting on that knowledge, come to understand that not only is liberation possible, but it has specific causes. And they come to understand not just that there are causes, but how to effectively cultivate them. So in this way, one comes to see that those that are endowed with a light that dispels ignorance have come to do so in dependence on extensive study and reflection.
Sanji
dunba dunya honi kik marwa tsina di kik yo mar dine yinza tewa chi di dambo la me tsine tewa chi mbi chue se sangye se le kane zhe se ma tue dine tue ne na sangye gopan se dine dine zhe se ata sangye gopan towa la ane nyamlen gara chi gore se du ngazu dati pa ngazu sangye gopan ma towa de gara chi nla wa re se ne ngazu liya ane rang chi zingye samba dine ki jam yin je ta jang shu sim nyamlen je ma tuwe ke jengye ta ngazu liya rang chi zingye samba ta dine ki jengye to ma tuwa re tsina de ma mewa paya la ya an jam yin je go mea ta ane dine ki an jang shu sim gom dine pa shin tuwe nyamlen je go re di je ba ina da sangye gopan to gure se dine ki rinpa ma tue ne tue yong tu ཁྱི Marik bi tu mesi si tu Marik ba siya di ngang tu ki Deliya Sanji yu gopan tobi ki tablam da Sanji yin di su ha mo gowa di Marik ba siya Tiusum je tu Tiapa chimbe lam ni kura nyamlen tiusum je tu Di ni su ha mo gowa di pa siya che Ni su ha goya cha ya tang Dine Ta tarba siya di ha mo gowa che Tarbi ni su toya ki lam nyamlen ha mo gowa di Marik ba siya Di siya liya Ani ngang tu ki tarbi yu kura Ani chi tiusum gomsum je tu Nisa hako di, ane di maa se. Dan kiwa chi maa, thada mi gopan hama gowa da, di nyamlan chita hama gowa di marikpa cha de yorwa. Chisan di yu tuyasam chini, di nige nyamlan chita hako yu di marikpa. Chisan tuyamay se, nga su, da loo palwa naa shi, nga su ki, sem ki, naa nisu di sebo hako tu gowa res. Ha sebo hako yu di, di si hama gowa di ki chasa pa se tu gowa res. Chisan marik tuyamay chen se de. Chisan tuyasam, tuyaba da, samba che di ki, dunda di yung gowa res se shikido.
Because it's important that we gain certainty in the need for study, reflection, and meditation, that there is this sequence. And so to take another illustration, if one doesn't know about a Buddha, one will not be able to become a Buddha. If one has no idea, has heard of a Buddha, but has no idea of what a Buddha is, what the qualities of a Buddha are, what the qualities of Buddhahood are, then one will have no desire to attain that. And even if one has heard about a Buddha and has some desire to achieve a state completely freed of suffering, a state enhanced with the greatest bliss, that wish is going to be exceptionally superficial if one hasn't come to understand with great clarity the mental paths that need to be cultivated in order to achieve such a state. But if one has come to understand that what Buddhahood is, and that it's possible, because this is the correct sequence of practices, and for these various reasons, each of us has the capacity to cultivate those successfully right now. If one does not know that, there's no way one will strive for, let alone achieve Buddhahood. If one does know this, and one knows it well, in other words, through repeatedly over a sustained period, receiving teachings, reflecting on those teachings, that knowledge will have a transformative effect on one's mind. Then one will have the strong desire to cultivate the paths, the mental paths within oneself that lead to Buddhahood. One will know that those mental paths to be cultivated are in addition to the practices of ethics up to wisdom. One needs to eliminate completely the self-cherishing mind, as well as develop love and compassion to the degree that bodhicitta is generated. So one will know that this is what needs to be trained in. One will know the correct sequence of trainings that one has to engage in order to achieve the required result. And in that way, this knowledge and this reflection leads to the eradication, the elimination of the darkness that pervades us right now, the darkness with regard to the mental paths that need to be cultivated to achieve a good rebirth, the mental paths that need to be cultivated to achieve liberation, and will eliminate the darkness relating to the mental paths that need to be cultivated to achieve enlightenment.
The last line here, he is familiar with the road to guide sentient beings. So just like if someone knows this environment very well, knows the greater Bendigo area well, they will be able to give someone directions with great ease and directions which are precise in order to arrive at a desired destination. So this analogy shows precisely part of the result that comes from studying and reflecting on the various paths that need to be cultivated. Because if one has a clear knowledge and experience of the paths that have been cultivated, one will have the required basis in order to be of meaningful benefit in the lives of others. One will be able to guide others in how to give rise to the wish to ensure that one doesn't fall into the lower realms. And one will be able to guide them skillfully independence on one's own wish that has come about independence on study and reflection. Likewise, one will be able to guide them skillfully to give rise to wish to be freed from suffering, to understand that psychic existence is pervaded by suffering and that there is a path to liberation, to freedom from suffering. And that depends on the cultivation of a particular set of causes. So one will be able to skillfully guide others to cultivate this desire to be freed from suffering and then to engage in that training in dependence on one's own knowledge and experience. One's own knowledge and experience comes about in dependence on study and reflection. And similarly, if one has studied and reflected well, one will also understand that enlightenment is possible, and it is possible for ourselves, and we'll understand how to achieve that. And in dependence then on this knowledge and experience, we'll be able to skillfully guide others to give rise to the wish to become a Buddha,
and we're able to skillfully guide them in how to achieve that. And this knowledge and experience comes about in dependence on study and reflection. So by engaging study and reflection repeatedly over a sustained period, we'll be able to have a meaningful impact, a transformative impact on the lives of others.
And then, She you could have been chance, all right.
And look at the first line in the ninth verse. He is endowed with the seed of the Dharmakaya. So here the practitioner has engaged in extensive study and reflection and come to understand that Buddhahood is possible through understanding what Buddhahood is, and that it's possible due to the cultivation of the specific causes and the elimination of the causes that prevent Buddhahood. So they'll have an understanding that the obscurations to omniscience have to be eliminated. They'll have an understanding that the mind of bodhicitta has to be cultivated, as well as training in the six perfections. And they'll understand also the correct sequence of trainings that one needs to engage in order to develop bodhicitta and to develop the wisdom realizing emptiness. And they'll understand that it's the wisdom realizing emptiness that is the direct antidote to the afflicted minds, together with their seeds and their imprints. And moreover, through their study and reflection, they'll understand how to cultivate the wisdom realizing emptiness to ever subtler and more powerful levels. And this all comes about through a process of repeatedly over a sustained period receiving teachings and reflecting on these. And as this process continues, then one's minds of love and compassion start to grow within one, grow in strength and frequency or duration, and the attainment of bodhicitta itself grows ever nearer. And in conjunction with this, one's wisdom understanding emptiness, this too, through repeated study and reflection, grows ever more profound. And the attainment of the actual wisdom realizing emptiness grows ever closer. And this person then also comes to understand that this is possible because they, as we see here, they are endowed with the seed of the Dharmakaya. And they'll understand what this means. They'll understand that the Dharmakaya, or in English, the truth body, that this has two components, two subdivisions, the wisdom truth body and the nature truth body. Now understand that the wisdom truth body is this cultivation of the realizing of emptiness, this wisdom realizing emptiness. And they'll understand that it's that mind is in itself empty of inherent existence. And that is being the nature truth body. So this understanding first will only be intellectual. But as they combine this process of study and reflection, these and all these other realizations start to come about. So this is the meaning of this first line. He is endowed with the seed of the Dharmakaya.
Sanji Koban Toya Lam Dabo, Ganekan's Gomgore, Ganes Yamgor, Yamden Chiors, Timatio Baina, and then Sing Maris, and Dambo Tu, Dinitibe, Dendelayana, and Sandam. Tis a Dinin Sangadu, Gibu Chungu Lamda, Gibu Dingi Lamda, Gibu Chimbu Lam, Ganesi, Yamden Jeba Inaya, Tersam said the Majabana, Guinea Yamden Jai, two Marisna, Tersam de Massi Gichimores, Tin Dinin.
So you cannot succeed without study and reflection. So this should be pretty clear by now. What is being said here is that if one does not engage in repeated study and reflection, then one is not going to even be cultivating the paths for a good rebirth, because one will not have an understanding of what those causes are that lead to a good rebirth. And similarly with liberation and enlightenment, if one hasn't studied and reflected well, one won't know what our current situation is. We won't have an understanding of what it means to be a samsaric being, what it means to be trapped, bound within the prison of samsara. So without even an understanding of our current position, we will not be able to give rise to a thought for freedom from this, let alone to a thought of what are the causes that need to be cultivated to attain a state freed from this. And then it's certain we will not be training in cultivating those causes. And it's the same with enlightenment. If we haven't received extensive teachings and engaged in extensive reflection on those teachings, we will not understand what enlightenment is. And not understanding that what enlightenment is, we won't understand that it is something that is achievable by ourselves. And we won't have any understanding as to what those causes are that we need to cultivate and how to do so correctly and in an unmistaken way through following the correct sequence. And without knowing all of that, and knowing it through study and reflection, it's certain that we will not be cultivating those causes. So therefore, any of the trainings within the three scopes, or the beings of the varying capacities, any of those trainings to give rise to the result, which is the goals of those scopes, only comes about independent on study and reflection. Without study and reflection, the causes are not there to attain that desired result.
And in that, my answer to get Tarbata, Tamji Gibu Govatoya, the Hada Mi Govatoya, Tersum Jedi, Jechimbores, Jeda Dini in that, Tersum Jedi, Kuno, my answer to get Simja Tamji, Sanyu Govatora, Jin Sibigi, Dini Gune Laje, Kuno Jenusim Yugune Laje Gone, that Chelia Tersum Yam, Tersum Gosum Jeda.
Through the process of study and reflection that one's motivation for behind all our activities starts to transform. So it's through this process of coming to understand our situation, coming to understand what is possible, that our way of thinking is transformed. So the more we study and reflect on what we are studying, the deeper our understanding becomes, and the deeper our understanding is, the deeper our reflection will be the deeper our understanding of the causes that lead to a good rebirth, the deeper our understanding of the causes that lead to liberation, the deeper our understanding of the causes that lead to enlightenment, the deeper our respective reflections will be. And the deeper our respective reflections are, the more transformative results will be attained. In other words, the more we engage in study and reflection, the more we'll know, and the greater that knowledge, the greater the impact that knowledge will have on our way of thinking. In other words, the greater the strength of our resultant realizations will be. The more teachings we receive and the more we reflect on them, the greater will be our wish to live a life of great meaning, a life that is striving to achieve one of the great goals of the Dharma, whether it's a good rebirth, liberation, or enlightenment. And the more we study, the more we reflect, the deeper and more sincere that wish will be, the more transformative that motivation will be.
Continuing.
As for the study and reflection that clings to this life, it provides resources that produce conceit. It causes contempt for those inferior in learning and reflection. It causes envy toward those who possess learning and reflection. It causes you to seek retinues and wealth. It's a root that brings forth lower transmigration. So cast aside study and reflection driven by the eight concerns.
Dini
As for the study and reflection that clings to this life, it provides resources that produce conceit. So here, if one is engaging in religious practice, so we're talking about reflection and study and reflection, receiving teachings and reflection, but one's motivation is tainted by the wish for reputation, the wish to attain material resources, the wish for influence and respect, then these so-called virtuous activities of study and reflection will not lead to the creation of causes that lead to good rebirths. Rather, they will just lead to the cultivation and the strengthening of our afflicted minds, such as pride. So this is a result that is completely contrary to the intention, the intended meaning of the Dharma. The purpose of everything that the Buddha taught was so as to eliminate the suffering of beings and then attain a state of lasting happiness. And therefore, the purpose of receiving teachings and reflecting on their meaning is to gradually weaken and eventually eliminate our afflicted minds, not to strengthen them. But if our motivation is tainted with the eight worldly concerns, then this is what is going to happen. If our afflictions end up growing in strength, despite studying and reflecting on the Dharma, this doesn't point to a fault in the Buddha's teachings. It points to a fault in our application of them. We can see this. If, for example, one is gaining greater knowledge than one had before, and a mind of pride arises, thinking, "Oh, look what I know, much more than I knew before, and not only that, I know more than these people and those people and those people." Here, due to the influence of the eight worldly concerns, then minds of pride or conceit arise within us, leading us to look down on others, to hold others in contempt, seeing them as inferior to us. This is not the purpose of the Dharma. And furthermore, it causes envy towards those who possess learning and reflection. So here we see another illustration of the afflictions that result from studying and reflecting. And why? Because our motivation is tainted by these eight worldly concerns. So here, jealousy towards others is arising, because one now sees others as competitors to oneself. One sees others as competitors for the respect that we crave, the influence that we crave, the recognition that we crave. So in this way, these eight worldly concerns pollute what should be something of great purity, something of great beauty. But instead, we end up with ever stronger afflictive minds. And furthermore, it causes you to seek retinues and wealth. So here, one, through the influence of the eight worldly concerns, when one is engaging in study and reflection on that, one's motivation is to become someone special, someone that's recognized by others and who is held in renown, and thereby to gain many students, because with many students, one has influence, one has reputation, one has prestige. One holds to a wish that when one enters a room, heads turn towards oneself, people talk about oneself. So again, this is a tainted motivation, which is only leading to ever stronger afflictive minds. So here, as always, it's imperative to use one's wisdom, because as one does study and reflect, the wish to benefit others should grow within oneself. And to benefit others means having a positive influence on their lives. So this does mean having students, having those that do turn to one for guidance, and then one having being skillful in leading them to achieve lasting happiness. So this is a desired result, and one shouldn't shy away from this. But one must be very clear of what one's motivation is. If one's motivation is tainted with these eight worldly concerns, there will be the hope for prestige and recognition and renown and wealth. And that is the fault, not the wish to help others and the wish to have students, but the wish to be flattered, the wish to be respected. That is tainted. Fourth line in the 10th verse, it's a route that brings forth lower transmigration. So this should be abundantly clear that if, despite engaging in so-called virtuous practices that generally in our community would be applauded, that of studying and reflecting, with a tainted motivation, the result that comes from this is ever strengthening pride, ever strengthening jealousy, ever strengthening attachment. These aren't the desired results. And these These minds, so this engagement in so-called virtuous activities, if they're only leading to the strengthening of our afflictions, there's no hope that they can lead to rebirth as a good rebirth as a human or God, let alone rebirth, attainment of liberation or enlightenment. We know well enough now that it's through these afflicted minds that causes are created that only lead to rebirth in the lower realms. And this is what happens when one's motivation remains tainted by the eight worldly concerns. So for these many reasons, the first line in verse 11, cast aside study and reflection driven by the eight concerns.
你就退下去，你就给我说，我才是，我们家的，你那做第三，第四，吃过了吧？俺几个人呀，那我就定义进来的，俺就三天以前的马头牌子，但定义马头牌子呀，但是个定义个三级古老说白了，米呀，但定义个这些都讲念头，这样的，定义俺就定义叫我注意的，俺那定义个那么些三大缺，他们就现在断的主播们刚来马头，让我们的主播是早给你要嘛啊，三百个。 모두스
Just bear with me, it was a lot. I need to rewind quite a bit, see where we started. Now, impermanence has come, and our time together this weekend is coming to an end. So let's summarize then what we've looked at over these three sessions. So we've just been looking at the need to engage in study and reflection on what we are studying, and the faults that come with not doing this, and the faults that follow from engaging in studying and reflection, but under the influence of these eight worldly concerns. So then how should one engage in study and reflection? What is the motivation to bring with oneself when one comes to a place to receive teachings or opens a Dharma book or sits down to do some reflection? Well, these are the three motivations that lead to the achievement of the three differing goals within the Dharma. So the very best, the one that it's my sincerest hope that everyone here can cultivate ever greater familiar with is the motivation of bodhicitta, where one generates the motivation that for the sake of all sentient beings of whom are mothers and who are suffering, my suffering mother sentient beings who are desperate to achieve a state of lasting happiness and be freed from the realms of suffering, I'm now going to receive these teachings, read this Dharma book, reflect on their meaning, so that I can develop the causes within myself to become a Buddha for the sake of others. So that is how we engage in study and reflection, so that we cultivate the causes that lead to the results of the Mahayana Dharma. And likewise, with such a motivation, whatever activities we engage in that day become causes that lead to the attainment of enlightenment. But if it's difficult to generate such a motivation, then it's my hope that you can generate the wish that for liberation from suffering, liberation from cyclic existence. A sincere wish that arises from seeing that there's nothing worth hoping for within cyclic existence. There's no result worth striving for that is if it is still bound within samsara. And then with this actual mind of definite emergence, one engages in receiving teachings, reading Dharma books, reflecting on the meaning. And then whatever one engages in becomes these powerful causes that will lead to liberation, that will bring about a complete cessation of one's suffering. And if one is not ready for that yet, then the motivation that is still worthwhile generating is that rebirth in the lower realms is unbearable. My life now already is hard enough. But how could it be if I was suffering in the way that beings in the lower realms are? And one commits to engaging in our acts of receiving teachings, reading Dharma books, reflecting on them, so as to create causes for a good rebirth as a human or God. And then whatever one does will create causes to attain a good rebirth. But amongst all of these, the very best motivation, again, is that to take our understanding of the sufferings that pervade the lower realms as well as the so-called happy migrations and giving rise to a wish to be freed of that,
we are then ideally suited to take this understanding of this burning desire to be freed from suffering in its entirety and relate it to the position that others are in. Seeing how others are just like us in wanting to experience only happiness, never punctuated by a moment of suffering, and that others, though are lost in the darkness of ignorance and confusion, not even knowing what the causes of suffering are and the causes for happiness are, they are largely only creating the causes that will keep them bound in the lower realms or lead them to falling into the lower realms. Thinking like this, a strong wish will arise within us to use this precious jewel of a rebirth that we have attained, a rebirth that was attained through such great difficulty that it can be said to be attained only once. We generate the commitment to use what remains of this life well, because we also understand that this precious opportunity is finite, and it will end, and it will end at any moment. This understanding then leads to a burning desire within us to live a meaningful life, to transform our way of thinking so that every engagement we have with others is an engagement of meaning. And when we aren't explicitly interacting with others, we ensure that our minds are in the direction of virtue, so that we can create the causes to live the most meaningful of lives. With such a motivation then, it becomes very easy to reflect on ethical conduct. Cultivate a mind of restraint, this commitment that I will make sure to watch my mind and ensure it doesn't go in a direction of desire, a direction of aversion, and rather keep my mind on virtue. And in this way, I will close the door to engaging in harmful acts towards others, whether physically or verbally. And this then is the cultivation of the mind of ethics. And in dependence on this, it's very easy then to generate the thought that it's not enough just not to add to the burden or suffering of others. I'm going to help others wherever I can. All the resources that I have come about in dependence on the kindness of others. All my own inner qualities have come about in dependence on others. Even the virtue I've cultivated has come about in dependence of others. Therefore, my resources, my talents and skills, my virtue, all of this I will use to benefit others. And here we generate the mind of generosity, the wish to give to others. And in dependence on a powerful mind of ethics and generosity, the practice of patience comes about easily. Because then whenever we encounter difficulties, whether from our own inner turmoil or the coming about in dependence on others, or in terms of practicing the Dharma, because of the power of the mind of ethics and the power of the mind of generosity, our mind will naturally stay subdued, stay undisturbed in the face of this adversity. We will be able to transform our inner turmoil or transform troublesome encounters with others and not allow such events to overcome our virtuous mind, to dominate our virtuous mind, but rather our mind of virtue can dominate. And in dependence then on powerful ethics, generosity and patience, we can see how easily the mind of joyous perseverance will arise. In fact, it will naturally follow from this, because we'll see this transformation that is happening within us. And this will lead to ever greater strength of mind. Strength of mind wanting to cultivate these minds ever more strongly within us and interact with others under the influence of these minds ever more. And therefore we'll delight in engaging in virtue, and we'll have no wish to engage in anything but virtue. When these are strong within us, we can cultivate the mind of bodhicitta ever stronger, because we will see, I can do this. I can transform my mind. I can transform what is already a precious jewel into something of incomparable beauty. And if I can do this, so too can others, but I can only lead others to do this based on my knowledge and my experience. And thereby our mind of bodhicitta, our wish to become a Buddha for the sake of others, grows ever stronger. With the strengthening bodhicitta, then it becomes much easier to engage in concentration meditation, placement meditation, whether it's recultivating the image of a Buddha or whatever our object may be. With the strength of mind, we'll be much more easily able to overcome the obstacles to developing single-pointed concentration, obstacles such as attachment and others. And moreover, in dependence on all these trainings, we will readily engage in the cultivation of wisdom, the sixth perfection. And this takes great effort over an extensive period to see how all phenomena, without exception, are dependent arisings. Dependence on causes and conditions, dependent on parts, dependent on imputation by mind. And this means nothing exists in the way that it appears, whether it's an outer phenomenon or an inner phenomenon, such as our afflicted minds, such as the mind of wisdom itself, such as ourself. Nothing exists truly. So in this way, through going through this process of meditations, we develop a deep inner strength, a courageous outlook that enables us with ease to take the teachings of the Dharma and cultivate this knowledge through reflection, and cultivate it ever more so that these minds develop deep within us and they start to have an overriding impact on all our interactions with others. In this way, we live a life of true meaning and we have an impact on the lives of others that is also of great meaning. So we'll continue then from here next week. We move on to the second line. We've looked at now how to live a meaningful life, how to be a genuine Dharma practitioner. And then next time we'll look at how to abandon any desire for samsara itself. So thank you, and we'll finish here then. Thank you.